Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a great call planned for you. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for the notes for today's call. And to ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rickc@ericlofholm.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out on our Facebook group. And you can click on the link I sent out on the email or go to the Sales Technology Training Program. I also recommend that you add that to your favorites on Facebook to make it easy to find. And if for whatever reason you click on the link and you're not able to get into the group, then just email me at rickc@ericlofholm.com. Let me know that you want access to the group, and then I can add you. Now, you can also access the audio recordings online, and so check in the email for a link out to the membership page where you can listen to all the audio recordings from the program. Now, the Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. And there are 12 modules of content. Now, today we're going to be talking about appointment setting emails, and so we'll jump into that in a moment. Also wanted to let you know that I recorded a webinar last week with Eric Lofholm, and the topic was on copywriting. And if you'd like to get a copy of that, you can email me. Just email me at rickc@ericlofholm.com and put copywriting video in the subject line, and I'll reply back to you and send you the link for that so you can get access to the content. And then over the next few weeks, I'm going to have a couple of free upcoming events, and I will share details on those soon so you can get access to those. But just know that there's a couple of events coming. I'll post them out on the group when the details are available, and so you're welcome to attend those. Now, we've been focused for a few weeks on setting appointments. And if you remember, this ties back to Eric Lofholm's three key systems of lead generation, appointment setting, and lead conversion. And I want to know whether you've had a shift in your mindset yet around setting appointments. And it could be a shift that, you know, maybe you're suddenly realizing how important it is to set appointments, and so you have a higher level of understanding around that. Maybe it's the role of technology that you hadn't perceived that you could use technology in helping you to book appointments, and that was a big notice. Or maybe it's kind of rethinking how you use appointments, or the fact that you could set multiple types of appointments. Whatever the big aha moment has been for you, what I'd like you to do is go share that out in the Facebook group, and I'll repeat this a little bit later on the call for those who are joining the call late. But go out to our Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program, and then post a message there to let me know what insights that you're getting around this, what kind of shifts that you've had around appointment setting. And I'm popping out there myself. Let's also set a goal for today's call. And let's see, I see Roy is posting on the group and says hello. So because Roy is here, I'm going to have to up the goal because I know Roy is a producer when it comes to comments. So let's start off today's call with a goal of 30 comments. We'll start there and see how things go, and then I might bump the goal a little bit later. Oh, looks like we've got a number of people joining in now. So Edith Sieg is here. Welcome, Edith. Ray Rasmussen. Lori Whaley is here. Thanks for joining in, Lori. Teresa Rippey is here. Hey, Teresa. And then also Shanna Newt. Shanna's fairly new to the group, so thanks for being here, Shanna. And so each of you, I encourage you to join me out in the Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program and post a message there. All right. So we're talking about today about appointment setting emails. And so the first thing I just shared was just encouraging if you've had a shift in your mindset around setting appointments. Maybe it's setting a goal, maybe it's figuring out a way that you could use technology. I want you to post that in the Facebook group and then let me know that. Now, how many appointments do you need to set per week in order to be able to accomplish your goals? So one of the things about sales is that if you know your numbers, then you can get to the point where you can understand what level of activity that you need in order to be able to accomplish your results. And so if you know how much revenue that you will generate from an average appointment, and remember, if you just simply take the amount of revenue that you earn per month, for instance, and divide it by the number of appointments that you had in a given month, then that's the amount of revenue that you earn per appointment. And so so you should be able to just take estimate based on how much revenue you want to earn, and divide it by the average dollar amount per appointment, and then come up with an estimate of how many appointments that you need. So that would be a simple example. There are other ways to calculate those numbers, but that would just be a simple example. And so let's say that you earn an average of $500 appointment, and you wanted to have $3,000 in revenue, then you would need 6 appointments to be able to accomplish that. And again, we're averaging revenue over appointments that are successful and appointments that aren't. So we have to kind of assume that your closing ratio is going to hold up, and all else will be the same in order to achieve that number. But whatever numbers you use to figure out how many appointments that you need to be setting per week, or how many that you need to be running per week, you need to come up with something around it. And sometimes you get as many as you can get, and then you have to figure out how to stretch. So sometimes you just have busy weeks, and there's a limitation on how many appointments that you can have. But for many people, number one, I don't think they have a goal. Number two, they're probably not reaching that consistently, even if they have a goal. And number three, they could probably be doing a lot better. They could probably be setting a lot more appointments. And so I think that's what's fascinating about technology, is that it gives you multiple ways that you can set appointments, multiple strategies. And so if you're not currently getting enough appointments, if you start to implement technology, then suddenly you're going to see you're booking more and more appointments, and now you're going to see an increase in your results. You're going to see more new customers signing up, and more money coming in. And then it's like, oh, this is exciting. Now I need to tweak this and improve upon it and do better at it. So why use email to set appointments? Well, for one, it's a technique that works. And there may be many techniques in your business that work. And so it's a matter of figuring out what techniques to use. And, you can add on as many as you can utilize. And, sometimes you might reach a max where you can't add on anymore. And that's okay. But I think another thing about email is it's simple, and also that it's impactful. Depending on how many people you have on your email list, you will have more people that you can book appointments with, obviously based on how many people are on your list. And so it's a strategy where as you build your email list, you will typically produce better results. The other thing is, what I found is that the more interactive you are with your audience, in the sense that the more that you get other people to interact with you and contact you, the more likely people are to respond to appointments. The other thing that I found is that people tend to respond more to experts than to others. And, many of the clients that I work with, they are experts in their field. They are positioning themselves as an expert. They create content. In some cases, they create information products. They host teleseminars and webinars. And so if you follow this route, then this strategy can work very effectively, because if people already perceive you as an expert, if they've already gotten value from you, then when you offer to talk with them, then there's a higher perceived value there than for somebody that they, have never heard, speak, talk, share information. And so that's something to think about, is how you can increase the perceived value of what it is that you're sharing, what it is that you're doing, so that more people get interested. I was on a conversation with a new client today. He's a new client that I'm going to be doing some technology projects for. And for him, he's new to the world of kind of branding and positioning yourself online, so we were figuring out what is his expertise. If we launch a blog, then what is going to be the content that he creates and posts online? And so we went through a couple of exercises to help him identify that, and then I gave him some homework to work on. What's nice about that is that gets him into action and moving forward. That helps him come up with a topic now that he can use that's going to help attract people in. And so, you know, the email, it's a function of how well people already know you. When people get an email from you, if they have a good opinion of you, if they feel that you can add value and share information, they're going to be more likely in talking to you, interested in talking to you. So part of what you have to do then is give people those opportunities. And so for some of you, that might be outside your comfort zone to do that. And so you may have to stretch. And stretching is a good thing. Stretching is a good thing. If you want to produce better results, then at some point you need to stretch in some way. You need to do something that is currently uncomfortable for you. And you may already know what the strategies are. And in fact, one of the things I would encourage you to do is make a list of those things that are currently outside your comfort zone. Things that you know you should do, things that you know would help you produce better results, things that you know would attract more people, and make a list of those and, you know, treat it kind of as a bucket list. You know, figure out how you can start accomplishing some of those. And some of those things you might, you know, just do once. In other cases, you might do it multiple times. Now, let's talk about the process of writing an effective email. If you sit down to write an email, then what do you need to put in that email so that it makes it interesting, so that people want to read it, in some cases even forward the email? What is going to encourage them to actually take action? So I want to provide a couple best practices for you that I use and that you can use as well. One of them is just the actual, I guess it would be considered the words per line or characters per line. And so because of the email marketing system that I use, I'm limited to writing 70 characters per line. And for that reason, then I have to cut my messages short as I'm writing them. Or not cut them short, but I need to cut the sentences off at a certain point and then start on the next line. And I've actually shortened this even further now. Now that I'm using a mobile device more and reading email on it, I'm noticing that emails have kind of a shorter length. And so I've actually cut my messages down even further, probably to around almost 40 characters per line, which is not that many. It's almost like you know, maybe 4 or 5 words per line. And, you know, if you're using an HTML template, there are, there's a, I guess, templates available now for the internet that are featured the responsive design. And so that can help to adjust the sizing up and down. But I'm just using a real simple format for my messages. And so it's just easy for me to cut the length at about 40 characters. And the other benefit of this, by the way, is it makes it easier to read. Like you can, usually when they recommend people scan information, they say scan about 2 to 3 words or about 4 to 5 words. And so if you have a shorter format like that, then people can almost literally just, you know, scan each line once and be able to read and pick up the information on that line. Another technique is to write in a breezy and conversational style. What is that? Well, it's kind of like if you're sitting down having a cup of coffee with a friend, how you would talk to them. It's just, you know, it's just kind of shooting the breeze. It's just, you know, having a conversation. It's just talking. It's using simple words, not necessarily big or complex words. It's, you know, telling stories. That's a good style in an email. And another thing, and this one actually is tough for me, is to write short emails. I tend to write longer emails, although I have come across many emails that are a lot longer, or people who write emails that are much longer. And but in general, it's a good idea to try to keep them as short as possible. Also, avoid corporate speak. So avoid trying to sound like you're a business or, you know, kind of a important company or something like that, because people don't connect with that. They connect with people. They connect with individuals. Also, focus on having one clear offer. Now, obviously, in this case, the offer is going to be for an appointment, and then have multiple calls to action. So invite people to take that particular action multiple times, or at least repeat those words or something similar multiple times throughout, and then include the link or whatever else it is that you're asking them to do. And again, you might ask them to email you. You might ask them to call you. You might ask them to click on a link and go out and book an appointment through an online service like TimeTrade. Now, you really have to create desire for people to want to talk with you. And I think this is one of those things that people are missing a lot, is that as they're writing their messages, they're not really creating desire. They may be, talking about the benefits, but they're not really building enough value or really getting people excited about wanting to talk with you. And that often comes from thinking of things in your terms rather than in their terms. So try to get into the mind of your customer. Think about it from their perspective. You might also consider inserting a story, like a customer story or a testimonial. That could help you as well, get people relating to you and seeing more of the value. Also, state your expertise. So one of the things I do in the in my appointment setting emails is I will typically include a list of credibility-based statements. It's kind of similar to a bio, but it's kind of more of a laundry list of things. It talks about the number of speeches that I've had or things like that. So it's more speaking to my credibility around a certain area. And again, each one of the, you can have multiple appointment setting emails, and then you can rotate between them periodically. In some cases, I've sent up to one message a month, offering to schedule appointments. In other cases, I might do an appointment setting email once every 3 months. So you have to determine how often. But just remember, and this is one of the reasons why I like to change up the specific offer. I don't like to do the same one over and over. I like to have a variety that I can come back to them with, different opportunities, which so that it always feels new and fresh to them. Like, oh, wow, cool, this is what I want. And I often get that from people like, oh, I was just thinking about getting some help around this, and here you are. And that's part of the value of just marketing consistently over time, getting your message out there to people all the time. All right, here's a quick reminder to participate in the Facebook group. Join me out in the Sales Technology Training Program group, and I'm going to pop out there real quick, and we'll see who's posting and how many messages that we have for today. And by the way, some of you may have noticed that I am back. I am back on the, on the wagon in the sense Facebook let me back in, allowing me to now post within the Facebook group. So I was able to create a new pinned post today for the call. And I see Roy posting out there. So great job, Roy. Yeah. It says Rick is out of the Facebook doghouse. Absolutely. Pretty happy about that. I was able to go around today and post and all my different groups about upcoming trainings that I'm doing, including this one. So always excited to do that. Now, okay, let's just break down the components of an appointment setting email. And you might find this useful. In fact, you'll find this in the notes for today's call, so you can pull it out and review it. But what I like about this is it really kind of breaks it down into a formula for you, and it gives you a step-by-step of what you need to do to be able to include all the different elements in an email message and send it out, in this case for an appointment setting email. So first of all, we have the subject line. And I will often start off when I'm writing an email message, and I will write the subject line first. And one of the reasons I do that is because it just kind of gets me focused in and thinking at it from the customer's perspective, okay, like what are they going to see initially, and then, you know, what is that going to lead to? And the other thing is with the subject lines, typically I will write somewhere in the range of about 3 to 5 different subject lines, and then I'll pick the best. So I'm typically just starting off with the one and then building forward. And I might try to knock out a couple subject lines. I might come back to that a little later as well. I might have a shift or a different focus, because sometimes the subject line comes out of the content in the email itself. As you're writing the email, then there might be a theme or something that comes out that you say, oh, I want this as the subject line. Second, you have the greeting. So how are you going to greet people in your email message? Some common greetings are dear or hi. Again, if you're sending out the email, if you're using some type of a systematic email marketing system, when you send out that email, you can insert the person's name in the subject line. In the subject line, in the to line. Well, in the to line, but also in the in the actual message, you can insert it in as a mail merge code. Then next, you have the introduction. And so in the introduction, you're really getting into, you're really just kind of jumping into, adding some value up front. That's usually what I try to do, is add value in the introduction. Sometimes they just jump straight into what it is that I'm offering, but in most cases, I'll try to start off and get them interested in whatever topic that it is. So usually it's going to be, in the case of an appointment setting email, it's based on whatever topic it is. So let's say that I wanted to offer a Facebook marketing coaching session. That was the appointment that I wanted, or a Facebook marketing strategy session. So then I would probably want to start off in the introduction. I would want to talk about Facebook marketing. So I've got to grab their attention. I've got to get their interest from the beginning. Because here's the thing, people have all sorts of opinions, and their opinions may not always be in alignment with your opinions. And so part of what you're trying to do is trying to reinforce whatever, opinions, strategy, thoughts, techniques that you have, even when it's contrary to what they believe, for instance. And one of the ways to look at it is, certainly in the case of paid customers and clients, they have a vested interest in understanding what it is that you're sharing and wanting to be connected to you. But for new people who haven't necessarily purchased anything, they're kind of on the sidelines, and they're kind of waiting really before they do something. And so you're trying to get them to take action somehow, get them to move a little further along in the sales process. Next, we have the body copy, which I define as kind of anything in the middle. And so body copy kind of overlaps some of the other things that might be included in there, but just in the body of the email. We have benefits. So in this particular case, it would be the benefits of the appointment. What are the benefits of the appointment? And oftentimes, I'll just state it out as a list. In fact, one of my favorite formats when I'm writing email messages is to include a list. And the reason is that some people like more of the narrative format where, they're kind of reading, they're reading stories and information. And other people like me are more of the, show me the money, show me the beef, whatever the statement is. But it's, you like to see bullets. And I tend to skim and scan more than just read. And I read up and down and up and down, so I kind of go back and forth. And so I'm automatically drawn to bullet point lists. And so if I have to endure an email that has no bullet point list, then I have to stop, slow down, and try to read and interpret and then understand what the message is about. So for that reason, I do recommend including a variety of content in your messages, some just in a straight narrative format, and then others that are more of a bullet point format or some other type of format. That's a good idea in marketing emails in particular to use social proof. So an example of social proof would be customer testimonials and stories. And so that can be effective in communicating information. And it could just simply be including a quote of what a customer said, either a full quote or a partial quote that's relevant and that's accurate, standing on its own. Then include the specific offer In this case, the offer would be for the appointment. And now this could be a two-step process, by the way. Actually, it could be a three-step process. So at the very least, they're going to have to click and go out to something like Time Trade to book an appointment. So that would be kind of a one step. And then another option will be if you ask them to email you, then you know they're originating an email or clicking reply and responding back to you. But in addition to that, there might be some other different types of steps or processes that would help them along the way. Now, the next one is the call to action. So following the offer would be to have the call to action. So what are you asking them to do? And I would state this, you know, specifically and clearly. And you can include multiple calls to action in the sense that you could say something like, click on the link or email me or call me, for instance. You can give them three different options. But I wouldn't necessarily do that every time you include the call to action in the message. For one, it kind of gets to be a little bit confusing and longer than it needs to be. And so it could be in your first call to action that you just invite them to click on the link or to email you. And then later on, then you offer a different type of a call to action. So you can kind of vary that over time. And then you have the... Oh, and I'm looking at my notes here. I had salutation, but I think that's the greeting. I think we figured that out last time. So I'll just say closing. You're going to close it out and include your signature, your email. I'll just break that out as a separate line, email signature. And then after the email signature, you have the PS statement. PS is the postscript, what comes after you essentially close out the message and include your email signature. And so now you are adding additional information. The PS, by the way, is a great place to recap the whole offer and recapping it in much shorter form. So, you know, it would be saying something like, so, as you can see, you know, there are many benefits from utilizing Facebook to market your business online. And I'd love to be able to share more individually with you about how to leverage Facebook to get more business. To schedule a free Facebook marketing strategy session, then click on the link below to schedule an appointment. Or you can email me at blah, blah, blah. That would be an example there of what to put in the PS. So, you know, you can take the approach of doing the who, what, when, where, why in a PS. All right. We are right at about 4:30, so I'm going to hop over to the Facebook group and start reading some of the messages there. Got a couple more ideas that I'll come back out to a little bit later and read. And if you haven't had a chance to jump in directly into the Facebook group, go to the Sales Technology Training Program group. Go ahead and post a message there. All right, let's see. Roy said, hi, everyone. 30 comment goal. He said, adjust your appointment goals to match your desired results. And Roy said, question posed at the beginning of the call regarded whether you have had a shift in mindset about appointments or their importance since last week's call. Or, yeah, the last two calls, I believe it was. So go ahead and answer that. If you have not already responded, go there and post a message. Let me know if you've had a shift based on what we've shared. Are you believing that you need more appointments? Are you believing that you can have more appointments now? So get clear on that. Or I said, positioning yourself as an expert increases your appointment appeal. Yeah, just when you're out there positioning yourself as an expert, people are much more likely going to want to talk with you. And so if for whatever reason you think that you can't position yourself as an expert, then I would really would question that because, yeah, I mean, not everybody is at the upper echelon in their industry, but if you are knowledgeable in what you're doing, if you've been doing it for years, if you have a certain amount of expertise around that, then it's very possible that you already have enough information to claim expertise in an area and then position yourself that way. And certainly there are a lot of benefits, and this is one of them, is that it increases the appointment appeal, that people will want to talk with you and learn more. Or I said increased the perceived value of your appointment to boost interest. Yes. Increase the perceived value. And you know, another idea that you can include, I didn't mention it earlier, but this just kind of hit me at this very second, which is that you could state a value for the appointment. You could say something like, schedule a Facebook marketing strategy session. The value of the session is $100. And for the next 10 people who contact me, I'm going to waive that fee of $100, and you'll be able to access that appointment for free. So that would be an example where you set a set an actual value for the appointment, and now you are going to be offering it to a limited number of people at no charge. Roy said, most email autoresponder services let you automatically readjust your line width. Very good. Roy said, recycle email offers. And by the way, just coming back to that, the line width thing, that's also a format that's utilized by many internet marketers. Not every marketer, a lot of the retailers and stores and things like that have more graphic emails, Groupon and things like that. They like to have a picture in, and they'll have multiple offers in there, and it just kind of makes it, more pretty to look at. But in the internet marketing space, a standard is to use those, just a plain white background, black text email. And that tends to perform very well. So, I'll tell you another thing that I like about that. To me, if you're using an HTML template for your emails, there's more moving parts. You will often have to copy different things into different sections. You run into, now this wants me to add a headline. And so those emails take a lot longer to create than one that's just simple, plain text. So, and I think simplicity and ease of use are important, because what is easy to do is much more, you're much more likely to do. It's easy to duplicate, whereas something that's complex, we have a tendency to not do what we need to do. So that's another thought around that. Or I said recycle email offers on a periodic schedule. Yeah, coming back to this idea that you can reuse your emails, with appointment emails in particular, I should probably have a better system for figuring out when to do which appointments, but I just kind of take a look and figure out, based on what I'm working on right now, what appointment I want to offer, but I guess I could do that a little bit more systematically. Maybe kind of break it down to 12 key appointments and then do one per month or something like that. Schedule it as a cycle. I do that for a lot of other things, but in this particular case, I don't. So that's an area for improvement. All right, Roy said, start with the subject line. Yeah, I think another reason to start with the subject line is it's a quick and easy win. If you write the subject line, you kind of feel like you're already halfway there. It's like, oh, I got the subject line. Now I just need the email message. And obviously the rest of the email message is more work, but sometimes just getting a quick and easy win like that of writing a subject line, it gives you a feeling of progress. Where I said the subject line is one of the most leveraged parts of your email. I'm not sure exactly what Roy means, but I'll just speculate that it creates the most leverage in the sense that you have one line of text, which probably has one of the biggest roles in the email, which is that when people are looking through their inbox, they will first see a subject line. And so the time and effort that you put into writing the subject line can make or break the success of the actual email itself. If people don't open your email, they'll never read the rest of the copy. So in that sense, yeah, I think that the subject line creates a ton of leverage. And Roy said, consider your greeting. Yeah, my greeting, by the way, for most of my emails is hi. And I put hi, the person's name, and comma, and that's it. Some others like hello, and some others use dear. And when I worked with Laurel, she wanted to have her greeting alternate. So she didn't like just using the same subject line over and over. And so it kind of stretches your creativity if you're trying to find a new style of greeting from time to time. And by the way, sometimes you know, it's okay to use other statements in there if you don't want to use somebody's name, or if you don't have many names in your database, then you start to have to get creative. And you can use like dear friend or hey fellow entrepreneurs. That could be a good greeting. So you can kind of change it up every now and then and do something a little bit different so it doesn't get kind of boring. Or I said, grab attention early in the emails. Yes, absolutely. All right, let's. I'm going to pop back out to my notes again and read a few more ideas, and then we'll go back to, over to the Facebook group. And again, now would be a great time to go out there and share. And I'll also encourage you to share what's the best idea that you've gotten on the webinar today or on the call. Go ahead and post that in the group now. All right. Well, let's talk about setting appointments manually through email versus the automation process for setting appointments, or how to automate the setting of appointments. Well, first of all, if you want to set appointments manually through email, then you basically have two calls to action. One is to ask people to email you, and the other is to have them call you. There might be other methods, such as you could have them fill out a form online, and that information would go to you, and then you would follow up to schedule. And what I would consider would be when you send out an email message, by the way, you want to think about who's going to be opening it right now, and then who will be opening it up over the next 24 hours. And that can make a big difference when you think about that. And, you know, oftentimes you'll get a bigger response initially. So you kind of want to make sure that your email is going out at a time that you have the biggest, you know, possible results. And so, for instance, to me, morning is a great time to send it out and to encourage people to take action. But sometimes I'll also do late afternoon emails as well. Now, as far as the process of automating setting appointments, I think one of the key tools is an appointment setting service, an online scheduling tool. I use TimeTrade. I've used several other ones before, including Appointment Quest, and I've just found TimeTrade to be the easiest to use. Since then, I've also come across other systems that set appointments online, so there are other competitors out there, so you can do a little bit of searching and find some of those. All right, let me share some tips for writing effective subject lines, because this, again, this is an area where it takes a little bit of creativity, but you can also go through a process to write a subject line. So first of all, be descriptive, and you know, be self-explanatory. Explain what it is that you're offering. And so sometimes, generally when I'm writing a subject line, I might come at it from two different perspectives. One, I'll just come right out and say what it is that I'm sharing or offering, or the reason that I'm emailing. And in other cases, I'll be a little more cryptic. It'll be more of a message that creates curiosity. And part of the reason, or part of the reasoning behind determining which one of those, is how much time do people have before the specific offer expires. So if I'm marketing something a month in advance, then I'm not really worried about, you know, the immediate traffic now. I just want to make sure that, you know, between now and X number of days, or, you know, there are other ways to measure it beyond that, but just think about think about what's going to get people into action. So let's talk about creating curiosity. How do you create curiosity in a subject line? First of all, don't be descriptive. Don't be explanatory. and have your message, you know, kind of be a little bit of a puzzle or a riddle, and or make a bold claim or a statement that grabs people's attention. Like, if you don't do this in the next 24 hours, you might die. I mean, that would create some curiosity, wouldn't it? Now, you know, that may not be a statement that you could back up, but it certainly grabs attention, and it certainly creates a sense of urgency too. Like, well, I better find this out. I certainly don't want to die within the next 24 hours. Maybe this is important. Let me read it. And I mean, you don't want to pick something where people are going to have a negative reaction. Like, once they find out what it is, and they go, oh, you know, and then you lose credibility. You don't want that to happen to you. Use urgency. And I just gave you an example of using urgency there. I think anytime you put a date in there, it creates a little bit of urgency around it. I invite people to a lot of events. So by putting a date in the subject line, I'm dating the email for one, but I'm also indicating, hey, this is something you need to take action on soon because it's coming right up. Also use scarcity. Scarcity is where you offer a limited number. And this is saying here in the subject line, and I think, so here's an example. So sometimes when I send out an appointment setting email, I'll say limited to the first 10 people who respond. So that would be an example of creating scarcity because I'm offering a limited number of spots. Use buzzwords. Buzzwords can help grab attention. Or, you know, some people like using controversial words, and that can grab attention. Frank Kern and some other marketers, sometimes they'll use a slang word or a curse word in the subject line. That's not my style, but it is something that that grabs attention, and that speaks to their audience. All right, let me pop back out to the Facebook group. Looks like we have about 16 minutes left on the call today. Okay, let's see. Roy said, email body can vary in length based on context. Yeah, what is it that you're trying to accomplish? What's the context of the email itself? Roy said, bullets are good for short skimming. Absolutely. And by the way, what kind of bullet points should you use? I normally use, but I sometimes also use asterisks. And you could indent, although sometimes when you try to indent things, the indentation is removed in certain types of emails. So just be careful for that. You might think you're indenting and it's actually not. Actually, another good reason to test your emails, send them out and see what they look like when they come to you. Lori Whaley said, start with the subject line. Yep, absolutely. Roy said, offer leads to the call to action. Yes. Lori said, PS is a great place to recap the offer. It's a great place to recap the offer, and another thing you can do in the PS is offer some new information, something that wasn't already there. So it's you could do a short recap, but also do something else to add value, give another benefit or something else like that. Because oftentimes people will jump down to the PS. They're just going to skip past the email, jump down to the PS to see what the actual offer is. And so you might want to add something new in value there as well. Angie said, who, what, when, where, why in the PS? Yeah, it's a good place for it. You can have it in the main body of the email too, but you can just kind of do a recap in the PS. Just make, you know, walk through that to make sure you've covered the bases. Roy said, script to schedule a free blank strategy session. Click on the link or email me at blank. Yes. Roy said, I'm already getting enough appointments to have a full-time workload. Awesome. Good job, Roy. Angie said, give them value but leave them wanting more. Yes. Good statement. I think you always want to have them, you know, wanting that next bit of information, that next piece of information. And so I think sometimes in an email, like an appointment setting email, we want to overdo it. We want to share too much information. And you have to kind of pull back from that and give them just enough to where it gives them a little taste. Or I said add urgency to scripts by extending limited offer to first free responders, first few responsors, such as a discount. I don't know if that's a misspelling or what, a responsor. Angie said, make it easy to do, don't overcomplicate it. Yeah, that's a big one. You know, sometimes I have to take a step back and look at my emails and say, okay, well, I messed this one up. I made it too long. I need to really kind of simplify and cut it back down a little bit. And that's a tendency in any kind of copywriting, any kind of persuasive writing is often we try to add too much information in there, and then we have to kind of dial it back. So that's definitely something to look for. Or I said, yes, that's essentially what I mean about subject line leverage. Okay, talking about what we were talking about earlier. Great. Lori said, do it and be consistent. Yes, consistency is good here. And, okay, yeah, Roy said responsors equals responders. And Roy included a link for Time Trade. Angie said, tips for effective subject lines, be descriptive. All right, so I got through the Facebook comments. So we've still got time for more. Go ahead and add your comments there. Let me check my notes again. It looks like I only have one more statement here, so I'm going to have to stretch this out a little bit. How to follow up with people who don't set the appointment. Okay, well, so let me break down the scenario here. Let me talk about this process. And sometimes when I'm going through an effort to book appointments, I will send out an email. I'll ask people to email me back. So there's a couple of moving parts here. One, I have the email going out, and then I have emails incoming, and then it's a question of how do I process those emails. So I like using spreadsheets for processing data. And so what I typically do is I set up a spreadsheet. In fact, I have like a large spreadsheet, but I set up a tab for that specific email that I sent out. And then I will enter in information from each one of the people that contacted me. I set up columns for name, email, phone, and sometimes I'll put details about what they requested. Sometimes I'll copy their notes in about what they emailed me with. Sometimes I might put the resolution, or I might have fields in there, in this case, for appointments, you know, like appointment, booked date and time. And so I just compile this as I go. The other thing I do is I create a templated response email. So when I respond back, when I click reply to their email, instead of just writing out a new message each time, I copy and paste from a notepad file for an email that I already have set up. And so I pre-write that email, I include my Time Trade link in that email, and then I send it out. So let's say that I got 20 emails requesting to have the appointment, and I responded back to 20 people by email with the link, and let's say that 10 booked. So 10 people clicked on the link to book the appointment. That means there are 10 people left that didn't book the appointment. So what happened? Good question. Well, there's a couple things you can do. One of them is you could send a second email. But even before I send a second email, I might actually make a phone call. Because when I usually ask people to respond to me, I ask them to include their phone number too. And so if I have a phone number, if I have a phone number in my database, then I will pick up the phone and call them. And now I can reach out to them and touch base and go ahead and book the appointment. So that might book me another 3 or 4. And now I have the rest. Well, then it's just, what can you do to follow up over time? I just keep going back through my list periodically and see who, hasn't responded to a prior offer, and then follow up with them and ask them if they want to or offer something different. So the point is, and this goes back to the concept of direct response marketing, is getting people to respond to you. It's getting people to raise their hand and express their interest. And so if somebody's interested in what it is that you're offering, then to me, that's the go signal. That's, okay, I need to reach out and continue to follow up with this person until we have a chance to chat. And again, sometimes the people that are following up with me or the people that are asking for appointments are people I've already talked to before. So then I have to evaluate and say, okay, well, what's this conversation going to be about? And, you know, usually when I'm running an appointment, I have a specific offer that I might be sharing, but, you know, it might be open to something else. And so maybe I follow up with them, schedule the appointment, but, you know, instead of, you know, sharing what I've shared in the past, I share something different. So you kind of have to have your strategy in mind around that. And again, also, it just even in terms of the length of the appointment might be different depending on people that you've already spoken to versus new people. I mean, typically somebody you're talking to the first time, you're going to have more questions for them. Whereas if you've already had multiple conversations, you already know, you know, a lot of information already. So the conversation can be shorter. So hopefully that gave you some sense around the follow-up piece there. But, you know, it's difficult to get 100% response, to get everybody to respond to you and booking an appointment. So don't just assume that just because somebody contacts you that the appointment will happen. And by the way, if you're sending out, you know, if you're just emailing out and including a time trade link, then anybody who would be, you know, all you're going to know about is the ones that have booked appointments with you. So number one, you don't know about anybody else who may have booked an appointment or was thinking about it. And that's one of the reasons I use that strategy of asking them to email me, because I want to know everybody, and then I can follow up. By the way, I'll give you one more follow-up technique. You could actually create an autoresponder series, and then you could subscribe those people to the autoresponder series, and that could create additional value and lead them. Let's see. Roy said, when someone uses a curse word in an email to me, I unsubscribe to them and file a complaint with their autoresponder service. Roy's at the extreme. Let's see. Roy said, responsors equals responders. I read that one earlier. And he said, how to follow up with people who don't set an appointment. And the fortune is in the follow-up. Yes, sometimes you have to be persistent in continuing to follow up with people. Angie said, create a template response email to cut and paste versus retyping each reply. Yeah, it's... And it goes back to the concept of duplication and simplicity and repeatability, duplicatability. So anything that I can, you know, do to simplify the process saves me time and effort. And by the way, another technique that you could use, instead of just manually responding to people, you could just automatically subscribe them to an autoresponder with one message that would go out with that. But I just found it easier just to reply directly back to their email. I mean, for one, it keeps the email history intact. And so you have, like, your original email going out, their response to you, and then your response to them, back and forth. Or, you know, a lot of cases people just originate a new email to me, and so I'm responding back to their email rather than just having, you know, a random email popping out to them, responding to them. That doesn't work so well to me, but it is technically a way that it would work. Or could work. Roy said, track your non-responses and follow up periodically with the same offer or a different offer. And by the way, this would also be another area where if you have a physical address, you could also mail something out. If you have somebody that, you know, maybe you've attempted three times to reach them and they don't contact you, maybe you drop something in the mail to them. So, you know, it could be a different offer or something else to get them into action. Or even an offer to buy something, by the way. This would be great if you had an information product. Roy said, even if you can't get 100% response, you can boost your response rate by following up. Definitely. And Angie said, Rick sharing follow-up ideas, example autoresponders. All right, we've got about 4 minutes left on the call. Let me see if there are any other thoughts that I can elaborate on, or if anybody wants to ask any questions, you can do that now in the Facebook group. Well, let me come back to the idea of how many times can you use this strategy over a period of time. Like, is there a point that this strategy just kind of burns out? I've seen over time that my results kind of, you know, have dropped over time as I've done this strategy. But just because that's the case doesn't mean I'm going to give up on it. And sometimes I find that at different periods of time, I get a different response. In the sense that, like, I, you know, something that I thought would be hot, I send it out, nothing. A month later, I send out a different offer, boom, I get a response. And I'm like, well, that was weird. I wonder why the other one didn't work. And so you just never know exactly what it is. And so I think you just keep trying and you keep tweaking and improving upon it. And, you know, the way I look at it is, even if I get a couple people to respond to me, that's a couple people that I wouldn't have known would have been interested otherwise. And now I can have a conversation with them. And it's in those conversations that, number one, you're able to learn a lot more about them, and you can do a much better job at in sales one-on-one if you have a personal conversation, if you ask questions, if you learn about them, and then can talk to them directly. And so, you know, even with all the technology that I use, I still think, you know, selling one-on-one, talking to people over the phone is a great technique. And by the way, yesterday I generated three sales by phone. So I had three sales come in over the phone. And so that's kind of rare. I've had it happen before, but it was just kind of perfect timing. And part of it was because I had a push recently around a specific offer. And so, you know, it creates momentum. When you take that action, it creates momentum. And so the results came in from that. So it's that persistency and consistency over time helps to create the results. So you can do it too. All right, on that note, let's go ahead and wrap up the call for today. So thanks for joining me. I look forward to talking with you next week. Have a great week, and God bless.